Welcome back into Press Row here on ESPN 105.1 The Zone. David Pascal along with Wells Guthrie. Hoping everybody out there is having a wonderful, wonderful Wednesday. Well, it is always a pleasure to welcome back into Press Row Dane Bradshaw, the former Tennessee basketball standout, current SEC network analyst who actually did last night's Tennessee-Ole Miss game. The game was in Oxford, but Dane did the broadcast here. And Dane, always good to have you. How are you today?
I'm doing great. Yeah, sorry, Tennessee fans, for the bad karma. Couldn't pull through last night. Tough outing.
Hey, I know you're neutral and it always shows, but when you're sitting at home watching a last 30 minutes like that, what goes through your mind?
You know, honestly, it's not as hard as people think because I just focus on trying to do a good job, but like, sometimes I'll get emotional even when it's not Tennessee playing. I had LSU Texas Tech last weekend, and LSU just made like a horrible play or something down the stretch, and I catch myself kind of throwing my hands in the air, like just kind of reacting as if I'm one of the coaches on the team that made the mistake. And so, if anything, I gotta watch that to where it doesn't look like I'm mad that a certain team got a steal or something. But no, you know, you're mainly, if anything, it's therapeutic as a fan. Like, if you're having to sit there and try to do a good job on the broadcast, it keeps you from, you know, throwing the remote and screaming and saying a few cuss words the kids might pick up on.
Well, if you're talking about LSU's inbounds pass in the late going, I threw my arms up at that one, too. All right. Last night, they did a little split screen, and you're sitting there in a blue button-down shirt. When you cover games, what did you have to wear? Did you have to wear coat and tie when you cover games, or could you be a little more comfortable?
No, it was typically coat and tie at the game. Yeah, so.
So you're liking
like
this.
The coaches, but they're going more casual on the court. Now, I'm curious to see if that translates to the broadcasters when things get back to normal. Because I don't know if the coaches will go back to the suit and tie or if they'll keep going how they are now.
Huh, interesting. All right, and of course you've got a backdrop in your room. Have you ever thought about, like, just mixing things up? You know, like Kirk Herbstreit would always have different – he'd mix up the helmets on that playoff selection show. I didn't know if you ever thought about, like, mixing up your background when you're on TV.
No, when you're as little decorated of a former player as I am, you don't really have that many plaques and awards to put up. So there's not a lot of rotation there, but – you know, yeah, the best that could ever do that was, you know, Woody Page. I don't know if he still does it on Around the Horn and that stuff with the whiteboard and the
right.
Different goofy message in the back. But now I keep it basic. My wife put up some stick-up wallpaper, and it's actually just on that little, you know, 4-foot stretch. And the rest of that room terribly needs to be painted, and it's a real crap hole, to be honest with you. And she put up some. He put up the temporary wallpaper there and made it look okay for now.
All right, and I got to share this because we love having you on and we love having Wes Rucker on. And y'all had an exchange on Twitter that was really funny because Wes was like, how does Dane Bradshaw always do a really good job on the SEC Network from his house when he has 17 kids running around? And you responded by saying they're in a tent on the driveway. It doesn't get below freezing for another hour or so. Hopefully this doesn't go into OT. How'd you do it? The kids did okay.
Yeah, I wasn't joking. they were out there in the pit. That's the only way to make it work. Now, they, you know, and actually that game was a 7 o'clock one. But normally on Tuesday nights, I've had the 9 p.m. slot. And so the kids have gotten to bed for the most part.
Right.
You know, my wife, I'll help where I can. My wife's certainly taking the lead, but if anything, that room is right above my master bedroom. And if anything, I'm keeping everybody else up. I come down, my wife is like, you are so loud. Like, you can turn up. Like, she's like, you don't have to scream in the microphone. You know, that you can just have the audio guy turn your volume up. I'm like, yeah, sorry, I can't do it that way. You just gotta have to deal with the noise from above. So if anything, I'm the distraction in the house. But, yeah, it can – only 4 kids, but it can sound like 17 at times when the – neighbors' kids are running through there, and dogs are barking and everything else.
You're listening to Dane Bradshaw, former Tennessee hoop standout, now with the SEC Network. You're listening to Dane here on Press Row on ESPN 105.1 The Zone. All right, let's get to the game. I mean, obviously, there was a lot of excitement about their performance against Kansas, and it looked like more of the same in the first 10 minutes. I think even before the midway mark, Tennessee already had 5 3-pointers. Josiah Jordan-James had 3 of them. Man, that last 30 minutes, what did you see?
Yeah, you nailed it, because really the first 10 minutes, they looked great, and I thought it was getting out of control for Ole Miss, because Tennessee had, I don't know, 25 points or so in the first 10 minutes, and that's a pace that Ole Miss just can't keep up with scoring-wise. But, you know, Ole Miss did some things to their credit, and then Tennessee just lost their rhythm, and, boy, just never regained it at all. And then to make matters worse, Ole Miss is a really, ineffective offensive team. But when they had some of those sort of pick six type plays at the top of their zone defense, mm-hmm. with some careless turnovers by Tennessee, yeah, you can't give a team that's that inefficient on offense do them any favors. And that's what Tennessee did, to where Ole Miss all of a sudden got some confidence. And when Tennessee had that 11-point lead in the second half, I thought, that might be too much for Ole Miss to overcome. And when you have that big of a lead against the offense, you got to be able to hold on to it. But it's one of those games, and I learn from it. I will say, be sort of long-winded on it, I was sharing with somebody today, I still think, look, it was good for Tennessee. I'll be the glass half full guy, because Keon Johnson misses a big free throw down the stretch there. Jaden Springer could have made a few more plays, but still, and yet, like, those guys need that experience. Keon Johnson, the first big free throw he ever takes in crunch time can't be in the round of 32 in March. You need those experiences on the road against the feisty, scrappy Ole Miss team. And knowing Rick Barnes and knowing that the team has some youth, they should be better for it. And if they aren't better for it, then that's a problem. But I'm one to think that they will be because of that experience.
All right, let me ask you this. Your bigger concern right now, because Rick Barnes has always, just kind of – carefully help these freshmen along in these post-game Zooms that I listened to, and I know they were affected by the COVID, because he said that from the start. He's like, whenever we had a shutdown, nobody got affected more than the freshmen. But after last night's game, you started hearing just a little bit more that these guys are still not understanding the importance of taking care of the ball. You had Springer had a couple of bad turnovers in addition to missing a couple of front ends of the 1-and-1. Is that a bigger concern, or just the fact that when Tennessee cannot hit from the outside, you just don't feel good about going inside and getting results from Pons and Fulkerson, because they can disappear sometimes?
Both are really good points, because you'd like to just have the one that you can rely on. And with Grant Williams 2 years ago, look, you knew that when things got bad, you could dump it into the post, and he's either going to get fouled, get a bucket, or make a good pass. Maybe not every time, but the odds were pretty good. And it just seems a little bit of a crapshoot right now. And I think Tennessee a lot of times can get shots they want, and it's just the inconsistency. The freshmen, they got to get better. They can't shy away from the ball. Vescovi can't be the only one that enjoys having the ball in his hands as a point guard. And I think that's where you're seeing him. At times, you might not be a fan of his game every night in and night out, but he's the one that Barnes trusts the most to run the point guard position on a consistent basis. And so I think there's some of that, too, where they need him on the floor to help take some pressure off the freshmen in the backcourt, but they got to step up and embrace some of that. But again, I think that all goes back to some more minutes, more playing time. And Johnson and Springer, I said this probably too many times last night, but they have the highest ceiling from a talent perspective, and certainly from the offensive side. And so if you don't necessarily trust the consistency of your front post guys and Fulkerson and Pons down low, well, then you got to look at what are your best options on the perimeter. And those guys aren't there yet, but they can be. And so you got, 8 games left before March Madness is here. And to me, it's time to cram for the exam, if you will. And I like the amount of experience and minutes and the starting lineup that Barnes has put them in. But you also have to know and be willing to accept that there are going to be some growing pains with that. But big picture, you got to get those guys as much minutes and as many valuable experiences as you can without having too short of a leash and benching.
Of course, you're covering the game last night from your house for the SEC Network. I'm covering the game from my house for the Times Free Press. And so neither one of us got to see much of what happened to your former coach, but that was a head-scratcher. Auburn, after beating Georgia by 18 over there, really just kind of gets thumped at home. And given that Auburn has that self-imposed postseason ban, I mean, the opportunities are kind of ticking down for them, and they just must have really rolled out a stinker. Every time I did flip over there, it looked like Georgia was just the aggressor and Auburn was playing 0-D.
I saw some. I didn't see the whole game, but I saw Coach Pearl's comments where he said this was the first time all year our guys didn't seem excited and ready to play. I think there's a few factors there. They had already beaten Georgia before, so maybe there was a little bit of a lack of respect there for the opponent. And, you know, look, they're watching SEC play, and Georgia hadn't been, you know, the greatest team, but they're playing better now, and the guys obviously weren't paying attention.
We certainly always appreciate having him on. 648-1051 is the number. Back with more. You're listening to Press Row here on ESPN 105.1 The Zone.